Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. God bless you. Start of a new day. It's a great moment to stop and think about the glory and majesty and beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking this week about the essence of Christianity, which is the new life that we're given in Christ. We're baptized in Him. Christianity is not just a moral system. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a different way of being good. It is a new way of life. That's what's at the core of it. This is what's being proclaimed. And everybody needs it. What we need is God's life, spiritual life, eternal life, indestructible life. And that's the life that's in Jesus. That's why He became one of us. And that's why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the only one who can give us indestructible life. Think about it. What is salvation? Salvation is, by God's action, we are saved. We are made capable of living according to an entirely new power, and that power makes it possible for us to pass from death to life, to escape eternal separation from God, to have power over the world of flesh and the devil, and to literally destroy the power of death itself, where death is no longer our ultimate. And we need to be saved from that whole regime of power. So when the scripture talks about and the church talks about being saved, we're being saved from something, for something. We're being saved from sin and death, eternal separation from God. We're being saved from hell, which is its consequence, for heaven, which is life with God forever. That's what salvation is. And that happens by receiving the life that allows us to pass from death to life. That's the life that's in Jesus, the power of an indestructible life, His resurrection life. As we talked yesterday, touching here on the second half of the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which I've gone back to a few times in the last couple of months, because I kind of feel Paul's ache, St. Paul's ache in this prayer as he's praying for people who already are believers in Jesus. But he's praying that they could see Jesus in His glory and majesty and grasp more fully by being given a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is a work of the Spirit in us, helping us see the glory and majesty and power of Jesus and what makes Him entirely unique. Because when we begin to grasp who Christ is, that no power in heaven and on earth compares to Christ, that we're in His hands, in the palm of His hands, we're His children, we're united to Him, His life is in us. That is a radically game-changing reality about who we are. And Paul knows that the secret to living a fruitful life in this world and bearing fruit in Christ, which we're called to do, and being able to live life with a greater power and a greater capacity to imitate Jesus, is to know who He is, to see who He is, to experience the growth in faith and hope and love that comes from just getting a glimpse, a deeper glimpse of Jesus, and being shot through with the fear of the Lord, which is something that Paul experienced when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus. We'll see if we have a minute at the end of the program to talk about the book of Revelation, the first chapter. There's a strategy here that Paul has. The key is to see Jesus. Because if we're not careful, if Jesus gets reduced, and Pope Benedict XVI said the devil's strategy today in many ways is to empty the figure of Jesus Christ of His majesty and power and His significance, and to reduce Him to another enlightened human being. When that's the case, we'll lose hope. Hope is the confident expectation of the ultimate fulfillment of my life. And if I see Jesus and I'm grasping the reality of who He is, that He's risen from the dead, that He exists in absolute splendor, power, and glory at the right hand of the Father, and all the power in heaven and earth belongs to Him, and in His flesh He's brought the human race with Him, glorified as the second Adam, and that's my destiny. That's the height of that to which I've been called, and He's the one who can get me there and bring me there. That's a hope that will never disappoint us. But if Jesus is just reduced to another moral teacher, what can a moral teacher do but give me some understanding of morality, right? But if that's all I've got, all I have left then to respond to that is my own human resource, my own fallen nature. And then salvation becomes my project, my achievement, something that I do, and I become overwhelmed by it because I can't. I fail. I don't have the power to really elevate myself to what my heart longs for, which is union with God forever. The devil's happy to have us talk about a Jesus that's a great social worker, that's a great counselor, that's a great spiritual guru, as long as we don't talk about him as Lord of all. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is the one the devil's afraid of. He's the one who destroyed Satan's power. He's the one who, as St. Paul says, and I'll just read it here before we move on to Revelation chapter 1. Paul says, we need to grasp the immeasurably great power that's in us who believe. Faith is what unites us to Jesus. In the first letter of John, faith is what overcomes the work of the devil. Why? Because we're united. When we're united to Christ, the victory belongs to us. The victory over everything. Even death itself, even the material realities and the suffering you may be undergoing right now in your life. You might be dying of cancer as you're listening to this. You might have other kinds of disease and things that are overwhelming your life. Yes, those things are terrible, but the sting of it, its ultimate victory over your life has been dealt with in Jesus if you're united to Jesus, because nothing can separate you from him. And where he is where you're going. And this life is short. It's a passing shadow for everyone, friends. We're all going to be dead soon. So even if we're suffering right now, and not to, I don't want to sound callous and not lacking in compassion and understanding, because the suffering's hard, right? And Jesus wants us to come alongside one another and to encourage each other during this time of trial and difficulty, great spiritual trial. In fact, the devil wants to use it to get us to give up on God. He wants us to give up that gold, the treasure that we have inside us, which is a sharing in what belongs to Jesus, eternal glory and happiness. Remember now, Jesus said, set your mind on things that are above. St. Paul says, set your mind on things where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Let your heart be there. Let your mind be there. With your feet solidly on the ground, but let the truth about who Jesus is and the implication of what it means, what he's produced in you, let that fill your heart and mind. You will become a new person. You won't need to pay people lots of money to tell you you can make it and that you're a good person. Your heart will fill up. Your self-respect will grow. Your sense of hope and joy and life and virtue will grow, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit will begin to sprout from the branch, right? You are the branch. He's the vine. Excuse me, from the vine. Paul continues. He says, he's accomplished these great things in us in Christ who's raised from the dead. He made him sit at his right hand. I want to read the commentary now that is taken from Ignatian Catholic Study Bible. If you don't have one, I recommend that you get it. It's tremendous. The footnotes in it are very, very good. So he's talking about Jesus now sitting at the right hand of the Father, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, above every name that has been named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here's just some of the notes on it. To sit at his right hand, what does it mean? It's a position of royal honor and sovereignty. Paul alludes to Psalm 110, which describes the coronation and enthronement of the Messiah in heaven, now reigning beside God the Father. Christ wields authority to govern the cosmos. Amen. That's who Jesus is. Verse 21, all rule, authority, and power. Here, Paul names the names given in Jewish and Christian tradition to different choirs or orders of the angels. They can refer to blessed angels or to demons who fell from their ranks. Paul's point is that God has elevated Christ far above all creation including things visible and material, as well as things invisible and spiritual. Catholic theologians have traditionally recognized 9 choirs of angels arranged in 3 levels or hierarchies. The first consists of the seraphim, cherubim, or hierarchies. The first consists of seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. The second of the dominions, authorities, and powers. The third of the rulers and archangels and common angels. Theologians classify these angelic orders according to their divinely given tasks. One more I'll read here. It says, what does it mean that he's put all things under his feet? It's a position of subjection and defeat. Paul alludes to Psalm 8, verse 6, where David marvels that God crowned Adam and his descendants as rulers of his creation. Although this government was frustrated because of sin, Jesus reclaims Adam's dominion over the visible world and extends it over the angelic realms as well. All will acknowledge Christ's kingship when he subdues his last remaining enemies, the devil, the demons, and death itself. It is an awesome fact that the whole power of creation will bow before a man in whom is the divine word, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Christ reigns supreme over the cosmos and the universal church, which is his body. Right? God has set over all creation one and the same head, the incarnate Christ. That is, he has given to angels and men one and the same government. Oh, friends, it's so important for us to be able to go deeper in Christ. Beg God to give you what Paul is praying for you and for me, that he would grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that we'd be able to see him. Now, one of the great examples of what that means is in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, where John, the writer of the book of Revelation, is praying for the 7 churches in Asia Minor that are marginalized and persecuted, and they're really up against it. And as he's praying as a pastor, trying to get help from God, God, what should I do? How can I help them? What's the situation that we're in? We're living in a radically pagan government, right? They were under the authority of the Roman emperor, and they were oppressed, and they're being martyred. And what happens? They're given a vision. He's given a vision of Jesus in glory and power. His eyes were flaming fire, his hair white as wool. I can't read it all just because I don't have time, but I'd encourage you to go to Revelation chapter 1 and meditate on it this weekend and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me see and grasp who Jesus is. But John, when he saw it, this is what happened in verse 17. When I saw him, that is, when he saw Jesus, the glorious one at the right hand of the Father, he said, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Don't be afraid. You're in the hands of the living God. Whatever you're facing, friends, don't be afraid. Christ is with you. Christ is for you. Christ is in your corner. He will rescue you from all difficulty and defeat. Acknowledge his lordship and majesty over you and live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.